as good as Pat's first speech was, that one right there was just as bad. That is pure poppycock, I think it goes. Whenever you are trying to win an argument, you resort to such base arguments as you've just heard. It's deceiving. He's talking about subjects you can agree with but don't relate, such as, number one, the repentance thing. He uses homosexuals and Mormons. Now, never, ever, is two men being together sexually ever right. The Bible says it's an abomination. So quite obviously, if you are in a homosexual relationship, you are going to have to get out of it because the relationship itself, the act itself, is sin. It's not a fitting illustration. You can't compare that to a man, as I presented to you, who got a divorce from his wife 12 years ago, who didn't even know about this teaching, who knew what he knew about the Bible and was trying to do the best that he could. And the man's wife now is in Texas, and he's in Mississippi. He's raised two children. He's got a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old and a wife depending on him. And to the best of his knowledge, then he was serving God. To the best of his knowledge, now he's serving God. Pat comes in and tells that man now, after these 12 years of marriage, you got to leave your boys. You got to leave that wife and go back down there to Texas and get reconciled with a woman who may not even let you in the yard. To equate that to homosexuals getting married is absolute nonsense. To say that the man that I just gave you, who is not in, by act alone, a sinful relationship. It's not a sinful relationship for a man and a woman to be together. The act itself is not a sin. So if this man, by some way or the other, was forgiven for breaking his marriage vows 12 years ago, if he was forgiven, then of course the adultery that he would be in with the woman he was now married to would automatically be dismissed. So, if it's automatically dismissed, and Pat said himself that the breaking of a marriage vow is a separate sin from adultery, the adultery is caused by the breaking of the marriage vow. Pat said himself that the breaking of the marriage vow was a manner of sin. And the Bible said all manner of sin shall be forgiven men except blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Period. He uses Mormons. It's just as bad. Mormons, if you get right down to it, serves another God. That's never permissible. So he's used two situations to where repentance would demand the breaking up of a relationship. Because the relationship or the acts are clearly defined as sinful in the Bible. There is no sinful act between a man and a woman having relations in and of itself. Now, my first speech, I could not have made it more clear how detestable divorce is to me, but yet he gets up here in his last speech and makes it appear like I've opened the barn door and let all the animals out. That anything goes. And if you've listened to anything I've said tonight or this evening, you certainly know better than that argument. Amen. I made it crystal clear that I didn't want to give anybody the slightest reason to think that divorce would be permissible. I simply said there was a couple of examples of exceptions. Now, you won't see a desperate man at work. I am a ninth grade dropout. Drop in. I drop in every now and then. Pat's graduated from Alabama, University of Alabama. Crimson Tide had nothing to do with what's happened to his brain. His religion did. Amen. Roll Tide. For a man of his stature, for a man of his learning, for an educated man, to stand here and tell you that the word bondage is used so many times throughout the Bible, and never one time, he says, is it used for the marriage relation. And that 7:15, Corinthians 7:15, wasn't talking about the bondage of marriage. Let me read. Chapter 7, beginning with verse 12. You listen for yourself and see what you might think the subject is here. If any brother hath a wife, that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath a husband, that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were you children unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart, a brother or sister not under bondage in such cases.
Amen.
Now, prepare to act like that's not talking about marriage. It's absurd. There ain't nobody in here, but you could read that, Pat, and think that husband and wife and husband and wife, departing and leaving. Nobody could read that. Nobody could read that. In fact, it wasn't talking about marriage. So for 795,000 times the word bondage is used throughout the Scripture, I will assure you that one time that same word is used pertaining to marriage, and it's saying exactly what it says, and is as clear as crystal.
Amen.
He said that his wife could leave him. He had nothing to do with it. It was no sin on his part. She left him. Okay, so what is Pat going to do from now on? His wife, because she was an unbeliever, leaves him. Now, because of her wickedness and her sin, this man has to sit the rest of his life without a woman, without a family, for something he didn't even do. And God can't forgive him? Or God can't erase those marriage vows? That's nonsense.
Amen.
He's not even to blame. And we get into the other parts of Matthew that he said was perpendicular or whatever he said. Hyperboles. Because what's going to happen after his wife leaves, and if this man has had relations with a woman, as time goes on, he's going to progressively want relations. Because he doesn't have it. And he's going to want it. But she's gone. So the tensions are going to mount up. And even what used not to look good is going to start looking good. I understand it like it is. So, because you're under pressure now. Bad pressure, and it's getting worse. So now you're fixing to have to exercise plucking that eye out. No part to yourself, because she's the one that left you, but God can't forgive you and get you out of that and let you get married again so that you don't burn. Burn in your lust. And then when you pluck your right eye out, you're going to find out that your left eye can do what your right eye can do. Because you're going to be looking at her like this. And you're going to have to plug it out. And then as the pressure mounts, masturbation may become an issue. Here's the right hand. And once that's done, and the right hand's been cut off, there's the left hand. This is nonsense. And the further you want to go down the road, the more insane it's going to get. And I ain't going to go no further than what I've just went. But those are facts that every one of us can acknowledge in here. And this is just as simple as a nose on your face.
Amen.
He says that in the book of Matthew, where it said forsake, he said that wasn't talking about a scriptural marriage. How does he know? How can he possibly know that that's not talking about a scriptural marriage? That's like the once saved, always saved people that you fight against, Pat. Whoever argument is, well, if they fall away, they never did have it to begin with. That's what they fall back on. So you insert into the scriptures that, well, that was an unscriptural marriage. Then nothing indicates that's an unscriptural marriage. The Lord said, for my sake, because God's a higher calling, even your marriage, if for my sake you forsake, leave, turn away, put away, I read all the definitions to you, forsake that wife. What about all the others? Is it unscriptural children? How about a house? Forsake house. Is it unscriptural house? Hey, you have no authority whatsoever to say that that is an unscriptural marriage. None whatsoever.
Right.
What the Lord said, He said clearly, was that if you forsake husband, land, house, wives, children for my sake, then you shall receive in this life a hundredfold, and in the next life, life eternal. That's what the Lord said, and it's clear, and that's a clear exception. Any way you look at it. Not opening the barn door. You better have a good reason for getting married. You better have a double good, triple good reason for getting remarried. I don't know what all the possibilities are. I don't know what every imaginable situation is. But I can tell you that there are situations to where a man has been divorced that God will forgive that.
Amen.
And we can sit here forever giving all the possibilities. But I've gave one tonight that God can forgive. And if the breaking of a marriage vow is a manner of sin, and the Lord said all manner of sins forgiven, then brother, all manner of sins forgiven except the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost.
Right.
There just ain't no way around it.
Right.
Now the barn door is not open, Pat. I hate divorce. God hates it and I hate it. As I come, I wouldn't do it. I'd vex my soul to stay in a marriage with my wife. Be it known this day forevermore, be it for good or bad or for better or worse, this man will die with that woman as his wife. No exceptions.
Amen.
In a thousand different ways. It ain't always been smooth sailing. But I'll die with her as my wife if I die before her. No question about it. I don't preach to a congregation how you can get out of a marriage. I made it clear. When you got it. But the fact that the Bible gives two exceptions and to say that the bondage the Bible was speaking of in Corinthians 7 did not pertain to marriage when the whole subject is husband and wife is ludicrous.
Right.